Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Joan Wester Anderson. Her 15 books include Where Angels Walk, True Stories of Heavenly Visitors, which was on the New York Times bestseller list for over a year. We're going inside the pages of Joan's book, Where Miracles Happen, True Stories of Heavenly Encounters, published by Loyola Press. This is a phenomenal book. It is something that actually had its origin several years ago. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about why you chose to update the stories and to bring this back out again.
Well, the first book that started off what ended up to be a series, it didn't start out that way because I was writing one book on angels. And then I was retiring and getting a job where I got paid every week. I had been working as a freelance writer for a long time, and it's kind of an iffy field, and I hadn't exactly set the world on fire, so this was my plan. But you know, they always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the book that I wrote earlier, the first one, called Where Angels Walk, became a huge bestseller, and I hadn't planned on this, and people from all over began sending in wonderful stories about angels working in their lives, things that maybe they had never wanted to talk about before because they thought maybe people wouldn't believe them. And so as this publicity went on and things got bigger and bigger, I started getting letters from people who said, well, you know, I believe in angels, I always have, but you know, no angel ever pulled my child out of the way of a speeding car or did these other things. Why, why hasn't God done something like this for me? And it got me to the point where I thought maybe we were creating like a bunch of haves and a bunch of favorite people. And, you know, God doesn't play favorites. So I just started thinking, what can I do to show people that angels are for everyone? And it just came about like that. I began taking stories that didn't necessarily involve angels but were still very heavenly and putting them into what I decided would be a sequel, Where Miracles Happen, and that book also did very well. So those two books set me on a kind of a series kick, and there are seven in the series now, and that's a long way of telling you that, you know, angels are for everyone, and if you don't necessarily have an experience where there's another being there, God is still looking out for you in his own way.
Well, maybe there should be 9 books in the series just to complement the choirs of angels.
Wouldn't that be interesting? I'll have to think about that.
Oh, Joan, it is a wonderful book. I mean,
thank
it is
you.
Filled with just those aha moments. You knew that, but you didn't know it. You knew that.
Exactly.
What are some of your favorite stories in the book?
Well, I think when we began to update the book, I was kind of panicky because I'm thinking, okay, I have to get some really good stories. We were taking some out because they were now dated. The people had passed away or something like this, and I didn't want a half a book of people passing away. So I'm looking, but you know, God doesn't always send me things just because I'm looking. And so I kind of put it in his hands and I said, you know, if you'd like this new book, it'll be new to so many people who weren't reading about angels and miracles 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were approaching Christmas, and all of a sudden Christmas Day and the day before were filled with television interviews on a situation that happened in a Charlotte, North Carolina hospital. And one of my sons lives in Charlotte, so I'm familiar with that hospital and, you know it to be a good hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And yet on TV there were, oh, CNN and Fox, everyone ran this interview, and it was the story of a woman who had struggled raising a child that had special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the child continued to have these death-defying experiences where, she would have trouble breathing, and they would put her on a ventilator, and then they would almost be ready to pull the plug, more or less, and then she would, you know, rally a little bit. Well, this episode had happened just a few days before Christmas. The same thing had happened. She had gone back into the hospital, only this time it was very serious, and the mom had made a decision, do not resuscitate, which is so, it's so difficult to do that for anyone, but especially for a child.
Right.
So she was in the intensive care unit, holding onto her child's hand, making this decision, when all of a sudden the nurses at the front desk began seeing a man, but actually it wasn't a man. It was more like a, you know, one of these hazy figures, and yet it wasn't really a hazy figure. It was something at the locked door of the intensive care unit. You have to be buzzed in. You can't just walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And so this being's appearance, he would appear on the monitor, and someone would walk down to see if they should let him in or not, and there wouldn't be anybody there.
Wow.
And it was so amazing because people were able to take pictures of this, and the mother of the little girl had one on her, you know, her little phone camera, and, it, you know, usually you don't have proof of these things, and no one knew what the purpose of it was,
mm-hmm.
but it just happened every day for 9 days at 4 o'clock, and, you know, the intensive care unit nurses didn't say much because they didn't want the media trampling into this quiet place, so it was just kind of left to the believers to marvel, and the little girl kept getting better and better, and she went home, and she has not had any relapses since. It's a year and a half now,
mm-hmm.
and the mother doesn't know. I asked her, do you have any idea why this would happen to you? And she said, no, she said, I just thought it was a Christmas gift for everyone.
Wow.
That an angel came on Christmas Day and showed all of us that, you know, miracles are still happening.
They really are. And the opportunity to experience angels, that's a gift that's given to all of us, isn't it?
It most certainly is. People think that angels only appear wearing white robes and wings and things like that. And actually, if you look into it, the way it's handled spiritually, angels are in the Bible over 300 times mentioned there. That's an awful lot of experiences, and it just seems to me that that makes them a very special part of creation, something that we all should be looking for, not to the expense of God. People say all the time, well, can I pray to God? Well, of course you can, you should, and you must, but as long as he made angels, they must have a significance to us. And I just love the part, I think it's in Exodus. I keep telling people who don't know where angels are in Scripture, you know, other than Christmas,
mm-hmm.
I always say to them, look at that, because that shows right from the very beginning. And it's a sweet little message, and it says something like, see, I am sending an angel, and you follow him, and you do what he says. It's, in other words, God is kind of giving us an okay mm-hmm. to have a relationship with an angel. And, of course, the Catholic Church believes that each of us has a guardian angel that's given to us at the very moment of our being and stays with us right until we reach the heavenly throne. I was talking to Mother Angelica once, and she said, wouldn't it be sad if we got to heaven and we never had put forth any effort to know our guardian angel, and here now we meet him and we see in a life review all the times that he stepped in to comfort us or reassure us or save us, and we had never said thank you. And I just, that touched me so much that I thought, I don't ever want to be without my heavenly companion, my awareness of him. And I think that's the same for everyone. We should make room for them because they do so much for us.
Such special gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
They are there for those who have hearts that are open to it, but also kind of as a surprise to those who some may think have closed hearts. And you have stories as well of those experiences.
Oh, yes, because you can't just make everything sweet. Everything is not sweet. And people always say, you know, do you have to be holy? Do you have to be saintly? Well, of course not, because what would be the point of that? The holy, saintly people, for the most part, already know all of this. But many times someone may be walking along a very difficult road, and they shake their fist at God. And, you know, this is normal in a relationship. We have our ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to think of being that irreverent, but I've done it myself. All of us in periods of difficulty, that's when you need help the most. I mean, one person said to me that the mountaintop experiences in life are wonderful, but if you think of it, nothing really grows on top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of desolate and bare up there. It's only in the valleys where you get the real growth. And when we're in a valley experience in life, a lot of people tend to think that there's something wrong with that. You know, if I was living the kind of life I should be, I wouldn't be having this relationship problem or something else. But these are times in our lives that are dark. Everyone has them, and you really don't have a choice a lot of times except how you're going to react to them.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about that woman whose daughter was killed by the drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that she shook her fist at God and experienced anguish that, you know, many of us could never understand. But when her mourning was over, she chose to pick up the pieces and start Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, you know, and she has probably, through her efforts, seen thousands of people's lives saved. If you ask her if she would have given all that up to have her daughter back, of course she would have, but she didn't have that choice. So she did what she could do to make the world a better place, and that's really what angels are there for, is kind of to help us direct what is difficult in our life into something that can be powerful.
Joan, in your experience, hearing all the stories, and I'm sure with your angelic encounters as well, what have you come to understand about the nature of angels that actually do interact with us?
Some people think that when we die, we become angels.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear them say, you know, my dad died and now he's our family's guardian angel, or we have a little baby angel in heaven. Well, technically, it's not. Angels are angels. They're beings with no bodies. They're depicted in art as having wings and halos, because wings mean they can fly through time and space, more or less, and halos are a reflection of God's light. So actually, they're not real in terms of their bodies. They're only real in terms of their spirits and their souls. And so when we, you know, when we say we're going to have an angel in heaven, what we really mean is that we're going to have a saint in heaven. You know, my dad's in heaven right now. He's my personal saint, and it's wonderful to be able to have personal saints.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all have to be made canonized in order to be, you know, beings that we can know and love. So sometimes God lets an angel do something, or he also lets a saint do something, and they're very similar, and yet they're not at all alike. For example, a lot of times there's little nudges going on in your life. Sometimes you'll just have a feeling that, gosh, I'm supposed to go and talk to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe you don't want to. What if that person, you know, kind of pushes me away or something else? But you just have a nudge. And I've come to understand that that's part of God's plan many times. And if you don't act on it, well, it's okay. But, you know, it would be better if you did, because something wonderful is going to happen. And sometimes you need a little sign now and then to get on with your work. And we don't know if angels bring these signs, or if our saints, our loved ones in heaven bring these signs, or maybe it's just God telling us to do. But I think we are connected to heaven in so many little ways if we will just take the time to look. And I'm thinking in particular, just very small, you mentioned these little things. A woman told me that her husband had died suddenly, and he was not a real church-going kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the Lord, he said, you know, but he wasn't always faithful that way. And she was very concerned about that after he died. She wanted to know that, you know, she would see him again, as we all do. And she said, I just couldn't quite get past the grief. I couldn't get started on it, and I couldn't go through my grieving steps because I was so concerned about where my husband was.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she just asked God, could she have a sign, just a little sign? And it was interesting that every Friday during their marriage, her husband always brought her a little daisy. It had started out when they didn't have much money and he could only afford one daisy. When he got paid, he'd go and spend a dime or something and bring that to her. But later on in life, sometimes he'd bring bouquets, but their flower was always a daisy. It just seemed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the middle of winter now, so she decides she's going to go out walking and just kind of try to get back in the groove. And she's walking, and it's miserable and out, and she's crying, and the tears are kind of freezing to her face. And she said, all of a sudden, I turned around and went around into a corner and started out on a new street. And she said she had to stop right away because lying in this snow was one little daisy.
Oh, wow.
She said it wasn't an armload. It wasn't roses. It wasn't all kinds of things. It was something personal just for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, do you think that was my angel? And I said, it doesn't make any difference or what I think. It's your prayer, your relationship with God and your guardian angel. It's your experience. It's nice to have someone say, oh, boy, sure sounds like an angel to me. And, of course, I always say that because it always could. But once we're involved in building a relationship with the Lord and his angels, no one else has to tell us. We know. We have that little place in our heart. We know that we know that we know.
We're talking with Joan Wester Anderson, the author of Where Miracles Happen, True Stories of Heavenly Encounters. And really, I mean, when we talk about heavenly encounters, that's the kingdom of heaven is here for us to experience, isn't it, Joan?
Yes, it is. He said the kingdom is within you.
That's right. And being able to just be open to those promptings, to just have our hearts open to allow and to believe that what I just experienced, it really did happen. I mean, that memory and remembering those occurrences, it's vital, isn't it?
It is, because there are times in our lives when we are going through a dry period or we're cut off from the warmth and the comfort of a heavenly hug, more or less. There is just, it happens to all of us, and I think it's kind of meant to help us grow in our faith. I was at some retreat once when the priest said, it's almost like you're walking with your baby who's toddling along. He's so proud of himself because he's walking and he's holding your hand and looking up at you just as you would be looking up at the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God takes his hand away. And, you know, the baby flounders for a time. He may fall down, he may, you know, roll over, have a little temper tantrum, whatever happens. He wants that hand back. Well, you know, that hand is there, but he's never going to walk well unless he has a chance to practice. And it's not that God has left us. It's just that for a while he wants us to, you know, walk on our own so that we can develop that those muscles and that strength. And then the other part that I usually remind people of is that you really can't get to know a person unless you spend time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will say, well, you know, God spoke to me and he told me this or that. Well, I'm not one who gets a lot of revelations like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it for others. I believe if they say it, that it's probably true. I know they intend it to be true. They're not trying to falsify anything. But there are times when you just have to do the talking and wait, and then when you get an answer, each time that happens, you recognize that voice a little bit more. And pretty soon you have a gift of discernment going on that you can kind of tell when something is real and perhaps when it isn't. And these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we all have, but we have to use them in order for them to really have value.
Tremendous gifts that were given through that wonderful bestowing of the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and it helps us to discern. And I think it's so important to remember that, yes, indeed, in scriptures, we're told about the angels. I mean, whether it's at the proclamation of the incarnation, or even when we look in the book of Revelation, or in that moment when our Lord is in the garden and he's suffering and an angel comes to console him. Mm-hmm. But we're also told in the scriptures that there are some beings out there that aren't so nice and are not so helpful. And it's important that we call upon those holy angels to be able to help us when occasionally we are assailed by those in which are not to our benefit, that they actually are evil.
Well, one thing that we need to remember is that the good angels are there to help us and to strengthen our spiritual lives before any kind of physical life. You know, sometimes people say, I need a healing. I really, really need a physical healing. I remember Sister Breege McKenna, who I'm sure some of your listeners know, has a ministry for healing. And she once said that it's very hard to pray over someone because the people bringing the ill person will sometimes think, well, Sister can just zap them, you know, and they'll be fine, they'll get up and leave. And Sister doesn't have any power like that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She can't zap anyone, but she does have a gift of being able to pray over people and bring some kind of healing to them through her relationship with God. So she was telling us once about a family that came to the door, and they came in and asked if they could have prayers for their little boy. There were two teenagers and then a 6 or 7 year old boy, and he had brain cancer, and it was very serious. He was not expected to get through this. So she prayed over him, and then she asked the family, now, are you praying over him? Oh, Sister, we don't know how to do that. Well, you just saw me do it. It's not that hard. And no, Sister, their attitude pretty much was, we were hoping you would take care of that for us so we could go on about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it didn't work, more or less. And she kept in touch with them for a little while, but and kept telling them to do their own praying at home, and then kind of lost touch. And about a year and a half later, she opens the front door, and here's the family again, with the little boy completely restored. He looked so much better than he had when she saw him. And they had come to tell her that in his most recent set of tests, this child who was supposed to be dead in a couple of months, there was no cancer anywhere in his body. And, of course, now we don't know if that came about because of prayers or what, but the man, the dad, wanted to ask Sister, why, if God was going to do this, did it take so long? And she said, well, you know, it didn't take so long because God is never late.
Mm.
Sometimes there are things that have to happen before a healing takes place. Obviously, something had happened to that family, and they went on to tell her that they had talked about praying together, never had done it before, and decided they would do anything for this child. So if Sister said, then Sister said. And it got to the point where their prayer meeting at night was the most important part of their day. And kids would come to the door and want their children to come out and play with them, and they'd be out later, they said, but they were praying now. Pretty soon their children, you know, their friends came in. Pretty soon there were other people that stopped by, and they ended up, I don't know what kind of conversion it was, but their whole block was praying every night.
Wow.
For this child. And when you look back at it, you can see how perfect this plan was. But at the time you're going through it, you don't see that. So I always say to people, you know, it's not on our timing. And sometimes you won't get a physical healing. You'll get a spiritual healing because that's what you need the most.
Mm. Oh, I could listen to you all day, Joan. How wonderful, but how great it is to be able to have the book, Where Miracles Happen, True Stories of Heavenly Encounters. And the other works that you have out there, Where Angels Walk, is so wonderful. I mean, that again is the New York Times bestseller. And to be able to go to your website, JoanWAnderson.com, all one word, JoanWAnderson.com. I'm sure you're open to receiving stories from folks, because I know people who are listening. There's somebody out there that says, ooh, I think I have a story to share with Joan.
Oh, good. That would be wonderful.
Joan, any final thoughts?
Oh, just I think sometimes we have a tendency to think that if it isn't written down somewhere, it didn't really happen. And I would just love people to start looking for the angel experiences in their lives as an added benefit, not as a substitute for what we already know and believe, but just as an extra gift. I think it would be very sad to have had this gift from God all along, but never to have opened it. Mm. And maybe this is why you are listening today, mm-hmm. that the God wanted to tell you, and he does speak through people all the time, of course, that he's waiting for you. And yes, I do love angel stories. I have a website, as you mentioned, but I also have a mailing list, and anybody can sign up. We just send a story out every other week, a story that hasn't been published anywhere, that's just one of the readers' stories,
mm-hmm.
so that people who are listening can see that these are ordinary people that just happen to have something extraordinary happen to them.
Great. Again, it's Joan Wester Anderson, the wonderful compiler and author of Where Miracles Happen, True Stories of Heavenly Encounters. God bless you for your work, and say hello to your guardian angel for us, as we will say hi to ours now, maybe, because of your wonderful promptings.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Chris.
We've been going inside the pages of Where Miracles Happen, The True Stories of Heavenly Encounters, with Joan Wester Anderson. Joan's work can be found at joanwanderson.com or at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, please visit www.insidethepages.com. I'm Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.